Yes. This is Tyler from The Casual Sound. Do us a favor and please go to iTunes Store or Google Play and leave us a review. Tell the world what you think of The Casual Sound. You'll be helping us out immensely. All right, enjoy the show. All right, that was Sex Park with the song Dignity. Sex Park is a band from Portland, Oregon, who is actually out on a Denver label called Vacant Decade. That's how I found out about them. They're fantastic. They sound like they could have come straight out of Manchester in, what, about 1979, 1980?
Well, just about. I think that was the first thing that popped up when we were listening. I was like, oh, New Order. And then the vocals kicked on. It was like, ah, early New Order, right?
Yeah.
First album.
I'd agree with that one.
Yeah, and so what's going on with the label? I mean, clearly, we don't have a lot of Denver labels.
Well, before we get into that, Welcome to Casual Sound. I'm your host Tyler Jacobson in studio with Jake Ryan.
All right, Tyler. All right, Lenny.
Evening.
We got new equipment so Lenny can be heard, and he was doing great during sound check. Now he's as far away from the mic as he physically can possibly be. What's up with that label? It's Adam Rojo and Nick Salmon. Both of those people have had ties to our previous podcast, Danger Radio, because Adam was actually on the podcast when he was in the band Gang Charger. And then Nick, he was in the band Glass Homes, and we used to play them. And they're both in a band now called Voight, V-O-I-G-H-T, I think. Yeah.
Like, everybody's talking to me, but I can't hear him. I'm just driving around in John Voight's car.
I asked that.
Yes?
No, it's Voight Kampff from Blade Runner. It's the test to see if you're an android or a human.
Okay. Wonderful. Yeah. Blade Runner.
I'm lost.
Yeah.
So Lenny and I went to the East Coast earlier this year. We went and saw Ride. We went and caught a couple dates there. We saw Philadelphia, and then we saw the final show of this leg of the U.S. tour that was in D.C. And I promised that we would report back with how it was. And I thought we might even record something live, but we were having too much fun, so we didn't actually do that. So now we'll recap. So we'd like to call this segment Recapping Our Trip to the East Coast to See Ride.
Sorry you weren't there.
So, Lenny, Philadelphia. We had two shows. Philadelphia, what were your thoughts on that? That was my first time ever seeing Ride, so I have my own.
It's a good show, good venue, good crowd.
Yeah, and a killer set list.
Totally,
I didn't expect some of the stuff that was on there, and the fact that they played OX4 blew my mind. Have you seen them play that live before?
Yes, yeah. It was a good tune.
It is. I think they also played Drive Blind at that one, which they did not play at DC, right? They didn't play OX4 or Drive Blind in DC, so yeah. We got to see those two fantastic hits for the fans. So,
well, I remember seeing your complaints about one of the venues. You guys got stuck in some church pews. Mm-hmm. I mean, I saw the pictures, and all I thought was, man, way to ruin a great show.
So the thing is when you walked into the Philly venue, and I can't remember, it was the something center. I can't remember what it was. But
TLA.
When you walked, the TLA, the Living Arts venue. When you walked into there, there were just, you know, I mean, it was a concert venue filled with people. It was an experience. You could definitely feel it. When you walked into Sixth and I in DC, it was an old synagogue. And so they still had pews in there. And I don't know, it still could be a practicing synagogue for all I know. I really have no idea. So it didn't have that same community feel. Oddly enough, walking into a church did not have that same community feel.
We can make arguments about that.
You had to go downstairs for a lager. Like, you couldn't drink where the band was upstairs. Well, they give you a special sippy cup with a lid.
Yeah.
Very odd.
Yeah, that was weird. And then you couldn't get up to be in front of the stage. You were stuck in your pew. And I know Lenny tried to make a break for it a couple times.
Armed security told me not to.
Yeah.
To the front.
So what? It was like going to Yankee Stadium when they're playing God Bless America. Like, you just, no, you will be here.
I've not been to Yankee Stadium, but.
For an entire Ride show, yes. And the other thing that kind of sucked about it was they didn't have a rig. So they didn't have a place to put their banner, and they didn't have a place to put their lights. So their lights were kind of off stage, but you didn't see the big Ride banner behind them. I don't know. It just felt a little underproduced and like, oh, no, you can hear Ride. Just don't enjoy yourself too much.
That's awful.
Yeah, and it was kind of a shitty way to end the tour, because that was the last show, and then they headed back. So,
but the tour really isn't ending, is it?
No, it's not, because September 20th, they're going to be here at Summit Music Hall. Myself and Paul Italiano will be DJing. So if you haven't been listening to the podcast, you didn't hear that news earlier, there you go.
It's going to be an incredible show.
It's going to be amazing. I can't wait. I can't wait to see if the playlist varies up at all. I really want them to play Mousetrap. Right, if you're listening to this, please play Mousetrap. I'd love to hear that live.
Well, I thought you were one with all the connections, man.
Well, I am, but you know, I don't know how much influence I have.
You can't pull strings?
I'll try and pull some strings. I also just got to announce this week another show that I'm opening for. It'll be Trash Can Sinatra's. That'll be on October 16th or 17th. I want to say 17th. And it's an all-acoustic show, which we've seen Trash Can Sinatra's come through before and do all-acoustic shows. But what they're doing differently on this tour is they intend to play out every song they've ever officially released, including B-sides. So throughout this tour, they're going to be playing every song that they've ever done. So it should be a pretty cool, varied set list there as well.
I know. That'll be incredible because they have a back catalog that's just insane. I mean, you and I were talking about this earlier, and for me, those first four albums, you know, you lump in what, Cake, I've Seen Everything, Happy Pocket, and Weightlifting are just insanely good.
Well, and I have to say that On a B-Road, which was
On a B-Road. Yeah. Absolutely.
It was B-sides and outtakes. It was an unofficial release.
That's why I said five and not four.
Well, that was the one that hooked me. All those B-sides, all those outtakes.
There was another one, Zebra of the Family.
Zebra of the Family, if you are a Trash Can Sinatra's fan, that's like the piece that you have to have, because then you hear these raw demos when it's all just piss and vinegar, which you don't necessarily associate with Trash Can Sinatra's. But incredible. Incredible nonetheless.
Yeah, no. I can't wait to see that too. I mean, Trash Can Sinatra's Orange Fell, that was my wedding song.
Yeah, that's right. It was. So, Lenny.
Yes.
Talk to us about Fugazi. Talk to us about your love of Fugazi. What was it like as a young man overseas thinking about Washington, D.C. and Ian McKay or Ian MacKaye? I don't care. Write letters. Complain to me. I don't care.
It's good. Good band.
Rich and compelling. Your insights know no bounds, truly, sir.
Can we listen to Fugazi now?
Yeah, I think so.
We don't have to try. Then we don't. painful entreaty. I did not know what to do with the gun which I held in my hand, for I had no pockets left. By charging after the woman who had run past me unrecognized, I would obviously be hunting her down to kill her. The roar of the wrathful elements, the raging of the trees and the sheet also helped to prevent me from discerning anything distinct. My will and my gestures. Once I halted, out of breath, I had reached the bushes where the shadow had disappeared, inflamed by my revolver. I began looking about, when suddenly it seemed as if, by all reality, it was tearing apart. A hand, moistened by saliva, had grabbed my cock and was jerking it. A slobbering, burning kiss was planted in the root of my arms. The naked chest and legs of a woman pressed against my legs with an orgasmic jolt. I scarcely had time to spin her when cum burst in the face of my wonderful sorrow. Clutching my revolver, I was swept up by the thrill of violent as the story. Twisted arms, I grabbed my gun to roll safely away. I remember three bullets.
I can't tell you how disappointed I am in the fact that these guys canceled their Denver show.
I'll be honest. I bought tickets to see Frankie Rose, who's a great artist, just to see these guys open. And the fact that they're not opening made me rethink whether I was going to even use those tickets or not. I'm still going to go because she's awesome. And I think we're playing some of her stuff later, maybe, or we've played her before. Yeah, we played her.
Yeah.
Okay.
That was Splash who you're referring to, correct?
Yes, correct. And yeah, I'm totally devoed.
Yeah, I sent him a message on Facebook, which at some point when you listen to this in the past, you'd be like, oh, that was when they were still using Facebook. But I sent him a message on Facebook, and I was like, oh, you canceled the Denver show? And they were like, whole U.S. tour got canceled. So I don't know any backstory on that.
Do you think it has anything to do with, like, the Trump hat that one of them was wearing? Like the one that said, don't pass Trump the blunt, something. And it was in the same old, like, you know,
MAGA.
Yeah, the old MAGA, you know, hat or whatever. I mean, that pathetic, whatever. Don't even get me started about that stuff. But do you think it had, I mean, is it that petty? Do you think we've gotten to that point where it's that petty?
Could be.
No. I don't think Trump gives a shit about Splash, if that's what the question is. I think you know, I don't know. Is it harder to come into America at this point? I really don't know. I know a lot of people at South by Southwest ended up not being able to come into America. And so they just kind of gave it up and they bolted. So I don't know. I don't know. I don't think Trump is sitting there, has a vendetta against Splash because of something they put on their Facebook page. Although I wouldn't put it above him to be that petty.
Right. It's probably like a drugs conviction somewhere along the line, right?
Yeah, it probably is. I don't know. I mean, do we want to speculate? What if they're good, clean?
Which again would be really, really petty. But all right.
Hey, it's worked for Bez. It's kept him out of the U.S.
Right.
Lenny, what'd you think of that track?
Loved it. I thought it sounded a bit like David Holmes.
Yeah, I love David Holmes. Yeah. Before that, we heard Wild Honey.
Oh, love that band. I can't stop listening to them. I put them on like all the playlists. All the tracks for CDs that I burn, like just to make sure I've got a handful of their tracks ready to go. Love that band, Shoegaze all day. Even though I think they hate the label Shoegaze.
It's not up to them. You released art. It's up to the rest of us. It's up to Casual Sound. Hey everybody! It's everybody's favorite portion of the show. It's Dunna, the Casual Sound question of the week. The Casual Sound question of the week is brought to you by Lenny. No talk and all style. All right, so question this week.
Pure sound.
You have to eliminate music from one of the following decades. From January 1st at the beginning of the decade to December 31st at the end of the decade. All of the music created in that decade is gone and you have to pick one. 1960s, 1970s, 1980s. This was asked when we were in Philadelphia seeing Ride. Somebody said you should put that on the show. Now it's on the show. Jake Ryan.
Easiest question ever to answer. You eliminate the 70s altogether. They're done.
No,
they're
punk
gone.
Rock.
Get that mic
in no, place. Because... You know, punk rock comes in at the end, right? 78, 79. Nah. It's just building up. Like you have what? You got a handful. Like you got that one Australian band. I forget the name.
The Saints.
Yeah, and they're phenomenal, right? Like I love that whole thing. But that was to kill it off. That was to kill that decade off. That was the whole point of punk, was to kill that decade off. Might I remind you, the Ramones. It's the end of the century. It's the end of the 70s. They wanted to get rid of everything that the 70s was about. All those garbage singer-songwriters, all right? I don't want to listen to the Carpenters, dude. I need that 60s rock. Give me
But you lose punk. You lose punk.
Do you really?
Yes, you lose punk.
I'm not feeling that. I'm not okay with that. I think everybody out there who's listening to this feels what I'm saying. You take those 8 or 9 years and you throw them out the window because
no, you have to lose all 10
to
years.
Be fair,
that's the
10
problem.
In a decade.
Yeah, but then it kind of it's kind of a trick question then at that point Because
of course it's a if it was an easy question, this would be a boring conversation.
And that's fine then, because you know what? I will lose Punk, because
you're happy to lose the Carpenters.
That's right. I'll throw it all away.
Donna Summer can right. fuck off.
If it means I got to lose Led Zeppelin and I got to lose like any of those overproduced 70s bands like Fleetwood Mac. I mean, you name them. You can run right down the line. All that garbage. I got to lose it so that I can get straight to post-punk? Yes. Yes, please. Oh, I'll take it.
Wait, hold on here. Post-punk. Wouldn't have it's post-punk.
I understand that.
Which means that you have to have punk. You don't want Antifa. Then get rid of fascism. One's a response to the other.
Again, though, it makes it a trick question, because then you can't get rid of any of the decades because they're all continual. They all blend into one another. That's garbage. So you're asking me to take one catalog and get rid of it. That's the way I'm looking at it. I'm looking at the catalog, all right? So that means like any punk that happened after January 1st, 1980 is still there, and then it still blends into whatever comes after.
So you're that guy. You're totally comfortable in a world without Goodbye Yellow Brick Road.
Yes.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah, I'm that guy.
What was that? Yeah. I was just thinking yeah, that
closer, Tony Danza. No, I'm fine.
That song that Elton John did with somebody named Kiki or something like
Kiki
that.
D.
Kiki D. Yeah, what's the song?
Don't Go Breaking My Heart.
Don't Go Breaking My Heart. That is the definitive 70s song. It doesn't get more 70s than that.
I know we're killing one of our friends who's listening to this. I think
yeah, maybe they'll post about it on social media. Maybe they'll help out, you know, their old friends, the Casual Sound. Lenny.
60s.
You can't get rid of the 60s. You lose the Charlatans in the 90s if you get rid of the 60s.
Yeah, I'm just talking about like what I'd listen to today from the 60s, nothing. What I'd listen to today from the 70s or 80s, a lot of it.
Yeah, I don't know. I take any of those classic Beach Boys, Stones, like Beatles albums in the 60s. Are you kidding? Against you any of that crap in the 70s? Nah, no way.
I can't believe you get rid of psychedelia.
Yeah.
You're good with getting rid of all that.
Yeah, over the 70s and 80s, yeah.
I think Lenny's going to go home and have a little bit of a rethink, I think.
I don't know. I mean, you can always change your answer. That's the nice thing is that none of this goes on your permanent record.
If you're wrong, you're wrong.
Did somebody pick the 60s? Somebody pick the 70s? Well, I guess I'm going to go ahead and pick the 80s.
Wow.
Which,
is that your real real answer?
No, that would be the real answer, and I'll tell you why. I think that if you have punk and you have psychedelia, you completely strip away the 80s, you're still going to have your folk singers like Billy Bragg. You're going to still have somebody responding like the Smiths did. You're still going to find somebody who takes technology and moves the needle forward. I think it's a void. And so many great artists ruined their reputation in the 80s. Aretha Franklin, Smokey Robinson, even David Bowie sold out in the 80s.
See, I think that's just a pure reaction to your like James Brown nightmare that happened. And I'll be honest, here's the thing. A lot of the stuff, especially the stuff that happened in the U.S., the good stuff that happened in the U.S. Well, no, it's the same thing. It's the same thing in Britain as well. They were responses to Thatcher and they were responses to Reagan.
I know, man. And I know that you're losing the Stone Roses. I know you're losing My Bloody Valentine. All the stuff that comes in at the very end.
Tyler, I will agree with you.
My favorite band, The Smiths, is in the 80s.
I will agree with you on this point. If we lose Thatcher and we lose Reagan, when we throw all that out, then I'll go with the 80s as well.
Okay. So you don't want to just lose the music. Let's just get rid of it.
Well, I think those things are so intertwined that you know, it's almost you can't have the question without answering it in those terms. You have to have those two things together because I mean, music is culturally significant, is it not?
Yes.
Well, then it ties in completely with the times. So that's what I'm saying. If there is a decade to get rid of, give me a break.
No,
get rid of the 70s.
I agree with you. I mean, we had the U.S. engaged in three wars, and we had the Backstreet Boys as a response to that, and you know, the late 90s. So I totally agree with you. I see how music is the mirror that we hold up to ourselves. All right. So with that, and by the way, you can tweet out your answer. We're now on Twitter. No, I'm just kidding. We've been on Twitter forever. But let's see if we can get a hashtag going. I don't know if we can. It might be pathetic. But hashtag casual question. How about that one? Casual question. That sounds very 80s, actually. For somebody who just threw out that whole decade.
I was going to say.
Should we change it?
The Denver label, Vacant Decade. That would almost be a better hashtag. Which one's the Vacant Decade?
Oh, that's right. A good one. That's
You're
a
welcome.
Good one. Yeah, hashtag Vacant Decade. Who the hell's taking over our hashtag? What the hell's going on there? All right, so we're going to end this with one of our, I think, collectively favorite bands. I don't know. Lenny, how do you feel about Suede?
I like the first record. After that, not so good for me.
I'm with you, except those B-sides are so good.
No, I loved all their records all the way through Head Music. New Morning was, I mean, by their own admission, was just a howler. But the rest of it is brilliant. Even though there was too much cocaine on Head Music, still a great record. You know, every time you hear Electricity or Elephant Man come on, you're right there with it. You know, come on.
Maybe that's what we need to put on the next. Maybe that needs to be the next casual question is which sure. band should go back to doing drugs? Which artist should go back to doing drugs?
Right, and Dogman Star was brilliant, top to bottom. That record is incredible. I'm sorry, but there are a lot of records out there where you can hear the band just falling apart, and it's fabulous. It's a great record. Great record.
Yeah, you keep saying that. All right. Mm-hmm. Here's High Rising, which I believe was a B-side.
Sci-Fi Lullabies.
It was on Sci-Fi Lullabies, but it was also a B-side on Stay Together.
Yes.
Their single in between Dogman Star and
And that is maybe one of their worst songs ever.
So if you love this, you're going to absolutely love it. I love this song. Come on, it's a great song.
It's good too.
All right, here it is. Until next week, have a great week.
Across